Colleen Kettenhoffen. I like that name, huh?
Kettenhoffen.
But I like Boss Whisperer.
Yes.
She has been. Executives know her.
She
and whisper into her ear.
That's right. And we're pleased to welcome her to the show. Colleen, good morning.
Hi, Mary. Thank you.
Well, you're here
with
Mary Jones and Brad Davis. And boy, we want to thank you because it is what, all of 6:15 in the morning where you are?
Yes, bright and early here in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's real. Oh,
wow,
that's a great
Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us probably before you've even had your breakfast, and we appreciate that. Well, Colleen Kettenhoffen, just to kind of set the stage, Colleen, for our conversation, is an award-winning author, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker. She's a consultant. She has done research with googobs of... That's a technical term, Colleen, of bosses in terms of the workplace. She is a workplace expert and has been dubbed the Boss Whisperer, and here to talk about really lots of facets about the workplace, one of which, Colleen, I know you've done research on, and it has to do with secrets your boss won't tell you but wish you knew.
How, you know, that's confusing to me. Now, here are secrets that the boss won't tell you, but he wishes you knew, or she wishes you knew. Well, what is this all about?
Well, what I did is I have been speaking and training for managers and supervisors and team leaders all over the country and really all over the world for over 15 years. And what I found was many managers and supervisors get promoted to management positions or leadership positions based on their hard skills or technical skills. In other words, they get promoted because they're doing an excellent job.
Yep.
But many of the skills that got them promoted are not necessarily the skills that they're going to use in managing people. So with my own business, I go out and I do a lot of training for managers on how to effectively manage people, what to say, what not to say, especially if you have a difficult employee, and really how to be a leader, not just a manager. So I started to hear about their pet peeves over and over and what some of their challenges were and what they want to see from their employees. And then a couple of years ago when the economy headed south and people were losing their jobs, worried about losing their jobs, I thought, you know, I've got a lot of pertinent information that could be put into a book to really help people. And so with the help of a former Oprah producer kind of guiding me into what, you know, what she thought the marketplace would want, I started asking managers and supervisors in my speaking engagements as well as when I would meet them on airplanes or in, you know, airport gate waiting areas, even managers I knew at the dog park, you know, I started to ask them things like, if I had a group of employees sitting right here, what would you tell them are your top 10 biggest pet peeves that they need to avoid? And then we called the book Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, How to Advance Your Career, Increase Your Productivity, and Have More Fun at Work. And that was one of the chapters, Bosses' Biggest Pet Peeves. I think it's the top 10 frustrations of bosses.
Well, can you tell me some right now? Can you tell me some of the bosses' pet peeves, what they want us to be?
Okay, now the first one is pretty obvious, and some of your listeners might think, oh, this is common sense, but as you know, common sense isn't always so common. And then I'll go to number two and three that might not be so obvious. Number one is excessive absenteeism, excessive tardiness, showing up on time but not starting work on time. You know, maybe they don't start for a half hour. And it kind of depends on the boss. Some bosses want people to show up and start right away. Other bosses said to me, oh, you know, it's kind of give or take 10 or 15 minutes. And really what a lot of managers said was excuses in general. You know, if they're frequently absent or tardy, because managers start to think, you know, if they're not here, why am I paying them? And then it's the impact that they have on everybody else, the morale, because
absolutely,
other people see this. And I always say to managers, you know, it goes both ways, because as a boss, you can't be do as I say, not as I do. You've got to be the role model.
That's
and
right.
then uh, The second thing, and this was huge, the biggest pet peeve was negativity, subversiveness, lack of buy-in. This is the chronic complainer, your whiner, problem child who really doesn't want solutions. They always want the boss to solve their problems, or they really don't want problems, you know, solved at all. I call them the water cooler instigator, or they're going around interrupting the other employees, such as your listeners, complaining about how busy they are. But I call them busy doing nothing. And then number three, the third big pet peeve, this ties in, I think, to the negativity, high drama, because these high drama people leave the same bitter aftertaste. These are your disruptive gossips, tattletales, going and telling on other employees when really the other people are doing a good job, sense of entitlement employees, and the pot stirrers. I call them the pot stirrers because they have the desire for dissension. Really the people talking about their personal lives all day, every day. And I know for you, Brad and Mary and your listeners, you might be thinking, oh, but Colleen, gossip, that's half the fun of coming to work.
for women it is.
We all know that's true. So these are the people where it's really more to the extreme, and they're really affecting morale and productivity.
Well, and I'm thinking, looking at your top list, the top three, one, excessive tardiness or absenteeism, two, negativity, and three, the high drama people, and we all know some of those in our lives, don't we?
Well, we do.
those qualities, those characteristics are ones that for me anyway, in my work life and my personal life, I don't necessarily feel a great need to be around.
You know, that brings up a good point, because it's the same way in your personal life. If
exactly.
You're going to meet a friend at a movie, or you're inviting someone to a party, or they're supposed to pick you up, if they're chronically and excessively late, it really has an impact. Or the friend who's always complaining about their own life, and they never ask you about you, and they can just drain you. And what a lot of bosses said to me is, I don't want to be everybody's babysitter and referee. Or they'll say, I feel like I'm running an adult daycare. And some of your listeners maybe too are managers.
Sure.
You know, I tell you one thing that I can't stand, and maybe it's because of the business that Mary and I are in, but I cannot stand somebody when you tell them to be there at 5 o'clock and they don't arrive till 5:15. They're always late. I can't stand it. Drives me crazy.
Well, that's because you're, as I am, Brad, I'm a perpetually early person. You're
so
a perpetually early person.
Yep.
I know. Colleen, I'm curious, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with the Boss Whisperer, author, international speaker, Colleen Kettenhoffen. I'm wondering, did the whole social media thing come up in terms of, you know, one of the issues for them that people, their employees, are just spending too much time on email, on Facebook, on Twitter, surfing the net?
You know what, Mary? That question has come up with almost every radio host. And yes, absolutely. That was number six on the list. And I think it's moving up the list. And what they kept saying was Facebook, you know, Twitter, or they've got a side business and they're selling things on eBay. So that was a big one. Excessive time spent on the internet for personal use, or texting. The manager's holding a meeting and they're texting under the table. So that was a really big one. And some of them said, you know, I don't mind what people do at lunch or on their breaks, or maybe if they're quickly on there, but overall it's someone who's doing a good job. But when it's excessive, and managers and employees alike said they really notice it, because when you walk by that person's desk, they they quickly close out all the windows. So I like to say technology can be an organization's best friend regarding visibility, but it's fast becoming its greatest foe
regarding employee productivity.
Absolutely, Colleen. Well, one of the things I'm sitting here thinking about before I got into radio, Colleen, I owned a business, and one of the things that would always drive me crazy as a boss, as a supervisor, and again, in my personal life as well, so this is just an overall life comment, not just a work life, people who make mistakes and won't own up to it.
Yep. Bothers me,
too. They won't admit it.
That's absolutely true. And I was on another radio show, and the callers were calling in, and there was somebody from Human Resources who was on the line, and that's what she said. She said one of our biggest problems, and she said whether it's employees or bosses, is when they've made a big mistake and they won't own up to it. And I think that kind of ties into number one, because with the number one excessive absenteeism and chronic tardiness, bosses had said, you know, really excuses in general. And I think the excuses ties in with what was number five, which was lying. And so when you say, you know, they won't admit it, it's really a form of lying. It's like the integrity isn't there. And I always tell people, you know, when you lie, you die.
When you lie, you die. That's good. I like that.
I like that,
Colleen.
Have you seen over the years, are these changing at all? You know, the 10 that you have researched, the ones you've mentioned on the show today, do you think 20 years ago they would have been in the same order and also on the list, or has that changed?
Well, certainly the technology has changed. I'm really glad you asked about the social media, because that wouldn't even have been an issue 10 years ago. I didn't even really hear about it that much 5 years ago, other than, you know, people on the internet planning a family reunion or, you know, excessive personal calls. I would say that probably with employees who are harder to fire, and certainly depending on the job that somebody has, employees can definitely be harder to fire. So with those people, the ones like excessive tardiness can still be big issues, or the negativity, because they've got to focus not just on the emotional stuff, but certainly what can be measured. You know, when all is said and done, it's, is the person productive? And so usually the people who are the chronic complainers or always talking about their personal life are probably not that productive anyway. But it is getting harder to terminate employees. And yet in this economy, on the flip side, in some ways, now it's starting to get easier because companies are just laying people off.
That's right. Yeah. I remember, Colleen, when I was a corporate recruiter, which is the business I was in, for a couple of years reading a survey that was done by CEOs. CEOs were interviewed by some organization for over a couple of years. And each year, their number one answer for qualities in an employee that they wanted to hire, that they wanted in their staff, was communication skills.
There you go.
Oral communication skills, which came to mind because you mentioned earlier that a lot of people, especially in the day of technology, you know, they need to be IT people, they need to be computer people, they need to be database analysts, and communication skills don't always go hand in hand with some of those hard skills that you mentioned.
It's somebody who's just interviewing for a job as an employee, or whether it's a manager. My first chapter is actually how to get a great job and keep it, what employers look for on interviews. And that's what they said, that communication skills was one of the things that was way up there, because they said if they don't know how to communicate effectively, there's going to be more miscommunication, and then people are going to have disagreements.
Colleen, can you hold on the line?
Go back to the managers.
Can you stay on the line with us, Colleen?
Sure.
We need to take a break. We're speaking with Colleen Kettenhoffen, the Boss Whisperer. If you have any questions, any comments about your work situation, if you're a boss, if you're an employee, you can give a call and talk to Colleen right now. Our number is 1-888-574-2723. This is Brad Davis, Mary Jones, Leatherneck and Lace, brought to you by Kearns and Kearns. We'll be right back.
I have a gut feeling about leadership, and I think that I don't think you learn leadership. I think it's something that you have or something that you do not have. You agree?
I think there are definitely bosses out there who just naturally have the people skills and, as Mary said, good communication skills.
Yep, yep.
Some of them truly, I think, are born with it. You know, certainly there are others who are not born with it, and whether they're in a technical job or maybe some other type of job, you know, in the past, all they've had to do is do their jobs effectively. And as you know, you've got control over yourself, but now those bosses are having to manage people who, you know, maybe aren't so motivated. And so, you know, how do they motivate those people? And, you know, when I ask people their biggest pet peeves about bosses, and this can be another sequel, but, you know, certainly one I hear a lot is one I mentioned earlier, do as I say, not as I do, that kind of a boss. And then also the micromanager.
Yeah.
And I know some of your listeners have had micromanagers when they're perfectly decent employees. And so one of the chapters I have in the book is 7 Magic Wands for Making Difficult People Disappear. And I actually put a section in there on how to handle a difficult boss, because even when I'm training managers and supervisors, they will say, how do you handle a difficult boss? And I think it's good for everybody to remember, hey, a lot of them have bosses too.
That's right. That's right. Goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things just coming to mind, Colleen, and I know we need to let you run, but I'm thinking back when I was a corporate recruiter, and I would often hear from clients, and clients were local corporations who would hire us to fill positions in their various departments. And one of the things that they always looked for in employees were people who had some of those, you know, personal traits in terms of enthusiastic, hardworking, always early, and so on and so forth, but also people who asked a lot of questions and who listen more than they talk.
Yeah.
That, I think, mm-hmm. because that's kind of hard to teach. I think it can be taught.
Very difficult to teach.
You know, I think employees, they come to a workplace being good at that or not good at that from the get-go.
And I think it goes back to what you had said about, you know, employers want somebody who has excellent communication skills. And one thing that was also at the top of the list in terms of what employers want when somebody's interviewing is enthusiasm, passion, and along the lines of good communication skills, somebody who asks a lot of questions. They listen,
right.
And then they ask a lot of questions. They're interested, and they want to work for that company. But I think you really hit the nail on the head with listening. I've heard listening is the number one tool in communication.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think a lot of people, they go to business meetings and they feel good about themselves at the end if they did the most talking. You know, they think they made a contribution, they got their point across, when in reality, sometimes it's just the opposite, isn't it? They have to be good listeners.
And that's a really good point. I think we've all been guilty on occasion of somebody maybe is arguing with us, and what are we doing in our minds? Rather than listening, we are thinking about what we're going to say next.
That's right.
Colleen, thank you so much. Been great. Great talking to you.
Do you have a website? Could you give it, please? And your latest book, is it available everywhere at this point?
It is available on my website, and I'm offering a special on anybody who orders the book today from the website, which is bouncebackhigher.com, as in bounce back higher from adversity. So bounceback, higher.com.
Colleen, thanks a million. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Questions.
Enjoy your breakfast now.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Out in California.
That's right. Arizona. Yeah, but 3 hours earlier. Colleen, thank you so much.
Right?
Yes, we do. For a day.